Salut tout le monde, c'est Melvin et bienvenue sur Hand Papers, le podcast qui parle de handball féminin dans tous ses aspects. Aujourd'hui, je reçois Louise Burgard. Was it the right way to say it?
It was perfectly.
Ok. qui est arrière droite à Metz Handball depuis déjà une saison. Et ensemble, on va parler de troubles du comportement alimentaire dans le sport de haut niveau, mais aussi du rapport au corps, du fait d'être étrangère, danoise pour son cas, et de jouer, évoluer dans une ligue d'un pays différent. Donc voilà, on va évoquer pas mal de choses qui, à partir de l'expérience de Louise, que je trouve très intéressante. L'épisode est en anglais, donc sur la page Instagram du podcast, je ferai en sorte de marquer des éléments clés en français, en guise de traduction pour les personnes qui ne comprendraient pas l'épisode. Donc je vous souhaite une très belle écoute et j'espère que cet épisode vous plaira. So, hi Louise.
Hi Melvin.
We're gonna talk about eating disorders in sport and the relationship with our body as athletes and women. So to start the episode, could you please introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Louise Burgard. That's the way it's pronounced in Denmark. And non-French people can say it, but it's okay. You made a good effort. yes, I'm right back in Miss Handball and I'm 27 years old and I come from Denmark. And it's my second season in France and so far I really enjoy it. Yeah, I love playing handball, eating, being with my boyfriend and my friends.
Yeah.
That's my life.
Okay, that's interesting that you say that you love eating, like, right away.
Yes.
Like, is there anything special about food? Like, was it particular, like, did you have a particular relation with food as a woman and as a young woman and as a player? Let's start the episode talking about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think food is what have been the biggest part of my life besides handball and like the relationship to food. Like I did a lot of thinking about this. And yeah, right now I'm in a really, really good place and I have a really relaxed relationship to food, but it has not always been like that. I have had so much trouble with this. Yeah, it started when I was like 13. Mm-hmm. And I had an eating disorder and yeah, it followed me until my mid-20s. So okay. I think it's something that you maybe never really let go of.
All right. I guess this is something like many girls are going through as athletes and also as women in society. And I think this, I really wanted to make this episode about this because I think it's so hard when you are an athlete and you have to make the most of your body, out of your body. But at the same time, you are a woman in that society that has so much beauty standards and body standards. And how was it like for you, concretely, like in your everyday life, to be a woman who's actually an athlete? So you have to be at your best physically, but who is also a woman who somehow just want to be like the standards?
Yeah, that has been my biggest problem, I think.
Yeah.
Like really, I think there is a big difference between health for athletes and health for like normal people. Mm-hmm. Because what you read in the media and see in the media and in the magazines, I think that was too much what I cared about, you know? Yeah. Like I read that, okay, you should eat a whole grain and not plain bread. You should never eat sugar. You should eat a lot of vegetables, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, for an athlete, when you train that much, you can almost eat what you want. And yeah, you really need to have those calories. And I really didn't figure it out until, yeah, I think 2-3 years ago.
All right. But how did you figure it out? Like, did anybody help you to go through this? Or did you just like, I don't know, were you documenting, watching, I don't know, listening to podcasts, watching TV shows about it? How did you understand that being an athlete, like the health, like you said, like the health of an athlete is not the health of a random person?
Yeah. I think there was really a Danish podcast which helped me a lot. It was actually not about athletes, but it was more like they wanted to like in the bullshit that is going on in the media about a lot of bloggers and like pseudoscience that want to tell you what you should eat and what you should not. Mm-mm. And they just wanted to say, okay, this is science. This is what the science says. And you should care for that. You know, like no studies showed that, for example, aspartame or something like this is bad. And somehow some people are going saying, oh, you could never drink a Coca-Cola Zero because then you will have cancer or something like this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like it really helped me a lot. But on the way, of course, my family were supportive, but it was I think it was my own struggle also, because like, and that's also why I really want to put this topic out, because I think it's a taboo, and it's not like like you can talk with non-athletes about the same issues because they're not the same.
And I remember, for example, when I was in boarding school, not being able to tell the difference between what was nice for me to eat because I'm an athlete and what I want it to look like because of the society standards. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was just so hard because somehow I felt like, okay, I think my body is okay because it's, you know, it does so much for me. It runs for me. It's holding me all day long. I can run so much. I can throw the ball. I can jump all the way. And just like, okay, why am I not able to enjoy this? This, because this is what my body is made for. And somehow, sometimes I felt like some coaches were asking me to have a body that looked like an athlete body.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, but my body is actually giving like the best of what it can give. It's like, I'm running good. I can throw the ball. I'm not injured. Like, what else do you want from my body? And just I think this is also, yes, that's the point, aesthetic.
Yeah. I really, I think, especially for young girls, for me, I was really, really sensitive and I really wanted to listen to people's advice.
Yeah.
And for example, when a coach come and tell you something, of course you listen.
Yep.
And I think that has really been a big problem for me. For example, I think my eating disorder started when we had a topic in school about nutrition and what should a normal 13-year-old eat, you know? And it was like, okay, when you come home from school, you can take an apple. That will be a good snack. But okay, I came home, I went to handball, trained 2 hours, and then I went to football after, trained 2 hours. So for me, I was used to like eating two big bowls of oats. And then suddenly somebody told me, oh, this is too much. You need to just eat an apple. And you know, suddenly I weighed less than, I couldn't throw the ball anymore. And my parents were telling me that, Luis, if you come under 50 kilos, then you cannot play handball anymore. We will like,
yeah, because you've been playing handball for a very long time.
Yeah, since I was 5 years old.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I also really, I missed the feeling of what my body needs.
Yep.
You know, I really, it's right now. I feel like now I can suddenly tell what my body. Okay, I'm full. Okay, I'm hungry. What do I really need? And if am I hungry for some sweets or am I really hungry? You know. And for such a long time, I was told that, okay, I should eat this, I should eat this. And sometimes I got so much stomach pain because I ate too much, I think, because that was what I was told I should eat.
Yeah, and this is what some people are calling mindfulness.
Yes.
The idea of eating while doing it. So you actually feel like, okay, like I want to eat. Like you said, and then, okay, I'm full right now. And if I keep on eating, it's just because I want to. But thanks to this, you can just be connected with your inner self and just know what's good for you. And like you said, I also had this feeling that sometimes after training, I was eating because some people told me it's important to eat after to feed your muscles. But, you know, most of the time, I wasn't hungry. I just didn't want to eat. I just didn't need to.
I really like,
and I felt like, you know, like maybe we are taught to do things, but not to know what we really want.
Yeah.
And I really remember the moment that was key for me was when someone told me about this mindfulness, like being here while you're here and doing what you're doing while you're doing it. And it really helped, it has helped me to, yeah, to understand my inner self, to understand my body better. Yeah, really. I really get what you say about it.
I totally get you too. Like, my teammate was making so much fun of me. I remember when I played in Vibor, like, 6 years ago, and I was told by the nutritionist that I should eat both some bread with some cheese and half a liter of chocolate milk and a banana. So I was like having a full meal right after, and I was not hungry at all, and my stomach was like
really. Yes, and I remember really like this also, being like this after the training, like eating right away, and some girls telling me like, but what are you eating right now? Yeah. I said, this is my after training snack.
It's for recovery.
And I think, of course, it's really important, but somehow we should just find a way to, like, of course, it's important. Recovery is important, I think. But I think there is also, like, the importance of knowing why you're doing it and just not do it because you've been told to.
And I think the most important thing I've learned that is everybody's different.
Yeah,
because you want to eat something, it's not for me. If you want to eat 1 hour before your match and I want to eat 5 hours before my match, well, that's okay.
Yeah,
because we're different. And for so long time I was trying to fit in and listening to advice from other teammates or what a nutritionist said or something like this, instead of just, okay, what do I want?
Yeah. And yeah, I think the best nutritionist I've been working with is the one who told me, okay, like, if you wake up in the morning and you're not hungry, then you don't have to eat.
Exactly.
Like, you know, you just don't have to eat. No. Just drink, because drinking is really important, but you don't have to eat. No. You know, like,
I was totally setting food on a pedestal, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I could go to sleep and I could think about, okay, what should I eat tomorrow? And, like, really, and all this cheat day stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. When something is abandoned, then you really wanted so much more.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes I had no sugar in my apartment because, or else I would just snack a lot. But then I caught myself eating a whole bag of dried apricots. Mm-hmm. And you know, that doesn't satisfy your sweet tooth at all.
Yep.
And it just gives you a really, really bad stomach.
That's it.
Because it's like fiber explosion. So, oh my God, yes, it's so so strange actually to like talk about, because now it's like retrospective.
Yeah.
But at that time it was just the law, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so crazy that you've been in that state of mind.
Like you said, right now when we're looking back, we're like, we can be tough to ourselves. Yeah. But I think, you know, I'd rather be like, if I could talk to my younger self, I would tell her just try to be mindful and just try to be thankful also for your body that is doing so much for you. Like every single day, like look at the power you have every single day to go on 2 a day hard trainings the whole year. Like, come on. This is just so crazy. This is just so crazy.
I agree so much. Like the time I spent hating my body.
Yeah.
Could have been spent on so many other things. Like the time I've looked in the mirror at my stomach. Oh, am I bloated? Am I not? How do other people see me comparing myself to others? But yeah, really, like it's amazing, the body. The body and like the image for, 24 years of my life, I never wore a tank top because I thought I was too buff. Like my arms were too muscular, and it's so stupid. Like now I just want to embrace it. Like, hell, I'm strong. So it's so crazy that, about what you said about you want to be feminine, but you also want to be really strong in the court. And I think in handball, okay, I think actually you're stronger if you weigh maybe 2 kilos more than 2 kilos less. Mm. And I know players and friends that, you know, they were worse when they lost kilos because they were not them and they didn't have a good life outside handball either, and with restrictions and everything. And also, for example, as a line player, okay, it's good to have some more kilos to like stand through good blocks and everything. So yeah,
it's maybe also about self-esteem, I think. Sure. Like the way we teach girls to be players, to be active players, or to be just listeners. And if we get taught to understand what our body is here for, as we said before, our body is here to be strong, is here to jump, to run, to hold you the whole day. So if you have this in mind, then the question of aesthetic is just a question of yours. But do you have anything else to say about this? Like, would you, what would you advise to a younger player? Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you tell her if she, like a player who's going through eating disorders or who has self-esteem problems or problems with her body? Like,
I would tell her at first that she is not alone. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are struggling with this. And that food is also sometimes just food and something to be enjoyed and not to be fuel for you to perform on the court. Because whether you train or not, you are going to eat. It's not like, yeah, it's it's something you have to. And yes, and that, yeah, it's so cliche, but like really listen to yourself. Mm-hmm. Like you are the expert of your body. And no matter what a nutritionist or somebody says, then it's you who knows when you're full and when you're hungry and what your body needs. Of course, you can get inspired and get advice, for sure. Everybody should have that. But in the end, it's only you. And because your teammate or your friend or somebody is doing it another way, it doesn't mean that you should do it in the same way.
Mm-hmm. And that you are doing it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we've been talking about food and body image, and right now we'll be talking about you being a Danish woman playing in the French league. Was it your first experience abroad?
Yes.
Yeah. And why did you decide to come here?
You know, to be honest, I was really fed up with the Danish way of doing stuff.
Okay, so you... I had always played in Denmark.
Always in Denmark. And of course, I appreciated it a lot and it made me who I am. And I had some good years and I could be close to my family and my friends and everything. But, you know, I had a period of stress reaction. I was just fed up with handball and my body was reacting and everything back in 2016. And after that, because I think my career has went so fast, you know, when I was 19, I was at my first senior world championship. I was the big star. Everybody was talking about me. I was the shooting star. Like, I could be the best in the world. Mm-hmm. I joined the Olympics in London in 2012.
I was there. I was 15 years old.
Just watching them. Yes. And then I was there. Like, yeah, when I look at the 19-year-old girl now, I'm like, oh, at that time I was at the Olympics. Okay, that's pretty cool. But, you know, everything went so fast. And I played Champions League. I played in the top clubs in Denmark, everything. Like, I didn't have time to appreciate everything. And everything was going so fast. And then I had the stress period. And I agreed with myself that, okay, now, Luis, now you have to, like, really stay in a place and just settle down.
Okay.
Like, now you need stability. And now you will not, because... Before that, I played in a youth club, and I played 1 year in one club, 2 years in another club, 2 years in another club, and I just thought, okay, now it's time to stabilize.
Okay.
And then I stayed 4 years in my former club, and it was nice for some reasons, for sure. But I also think, like, I was just torn down also in the same way of doing stuff. Like, okay. And then I think my agent, he just pushed me a little bit. My manager, I think it's in English. Yeah. Like, Lucia, shouldn't you try, like, something. The world? And I was like, I don't know. No. But I was like, okay, it has to be the right club at the right time. And then Miss was here and, yeah. Like France, I'm in love with France now, I think.
Yes, you are. Okay, so first of all, can you describe us the Danish way of playing? You talk about it.
Yeah. Like, we're really professional about everything outside the court, I think. Like, go to bed early, eat nutritious food, not partying a lot, doing good physical training, everything like this. And I think for me, it was also too much of a focus. And maybe here there's a little less focus on this. So maybe that, like, the balance between the Danish way and the French way is maybe the best. in Denmark, I feel like it's really much in systems. Okay. And, you know, and it's a lot about the playing collectively. And when I came here, I was like, wow, can you do fence like this and do man against man like this? I think in Denmark you're really sharp on the tactics and you really have a plan A, plan B, plan C, but sometimes you forget to just play handball. Yeah. And okay, mm-hmm. You can win a man against man and then you can go for the goal.
Yeah. It's, I remember thinking like this when I was in the youth national team.
Yeah.
I felt like the Danish were so precise all the way. You know, like every generation of Danish girls, they were so clear in what was they were expected totally. To do. They were so clear. Yeah. I remember this.
Yeah. So for me, it has just been a relief to be here in France. And, you know, like I also told you, like, it would be so unusual for Danes to dance in a physical training or like before a match, you would sit with your head between the legs and you would be like totally focused. Mm-hmm. And if somebody would dance, I tried one time that they told like, oh, I think we were bad in this game because we were too unserious in the locker room before. People were dancing. What the fuck is this? You know? Uh-huh. And like right now I'm just... Okay, dancing is energy, yes. For example. It's not about being unserious. And I was just like, oh, come on, mm-hmm. Denmark.
No, but I guess this is not just a Danish thing. I remember they are having some coaches who are like pointing at some players like, okay, you've been dancing, you've been smiling too much. And to them, it meant that she or he was not... focus enough to play and ready enough to play, which I think is, I don't think it's stupid. I just think that for some reason, they are not able to understand that we are not getting ready the same way.
Mm, exactly.
And I think it's not because you're strict with your headphones, listening to hard music, that you are more ready to play than me, who's just here, happy to be here. So,
exactly.
Because, you know, for me, performing without happiness and love, at least for me, is not performing. No.
For me neither. And I also like figured out, for example, like I told you, in Denmark, we care a lot about physical training and about strength training, for example. And I watch myself every time in the strength room, like, okay, I lift way more kilos than Olen and Milin. And I see them like so fast in the court, like you should, you thought they would lift 110 kilos in squat if you should think that way, that because you're strong in the strength room, then you should be also strong in the court. Mm-hmm. And I was really like, it was a mind opener for me that I think we care a little too much about this in Denmark.
Yeah. I don't know, but like I've played with not Danish girls, but Norwegians one. And I really remember them being, like you said, so professional with this. And it was also a kind of an inspiration for me, because I remember when I entered my first professional team, I felt like also that they knew exactly what they were doing, you know, because somehow I felt like here when we do, for example, muscu, as young players, we do not always know the reasons why we're here and what we're doing it. And contrary to us, I felt like they knew it.
Yeah.
You know?
I get you. And I think, you know, everything is all about balance. And of course, I think also one of the reasons why, for example, Norway, they won a lot of medals is also because they are like insane in the muscu. So for sure, like with the food and everything, you have to find your own way, what works for you. My experience is just I focused maybe too much on the physical stuff. And I think I miss a lot of the technical stuff that you guys have. Like doing like my go-to move, my go-to feint, you know, I can always do this and I can like win a man against man or something like this. I can always perform this shoot in a good way.
Yeah.
Like I feel I miss this. It has been too much about tactics and the collective play. And I think if I should tell myself something when I was younger, it was like focus more on the individual stuff. The technical stuff, the good passes, the good defense, the good shoot, everything like this. And of course, it has always also been good for me. I think I could not play the Olympic Games in an age of 19 if I wasn't in a good physical shape.
Yeah, definitely.
So for sure, it has also helped me. But yeah, I just think, okay, if I did musculation 3 times a week, every day of my life since I was 15. Okay, what if I've done one or two more like technical trainings with handball?
Mm-hmm.
What had happened?
I got you. So is that the balance you were looking for when you came here?
Yeah, for sure. And also like, yeah, see how you can do it. Like the French national team had performed really good and I wanted to see. Like, and now I knew the Scandinavian way and I played with a lot of Norwegian and Swedish girls and I think they are so inspiring. But I also wanted to try like, this more loose
craziness.
Yeah, really, I am more a crazy person. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not really a good dancer, but I really like to dance. I'm not a good singer and I really like to sing and I really like to be crazy and creative and like to put my head down sometimes and just play. Yeah.
So cool. And I think it's really nice also that you are bringing your culture here.
Yeah. I feel like I'm really good at pushing myself. For example, when we run, I think I can run until I throw up.
Okay.
But for me, I was really inspired by the way, you know, even though some of you suck at running, really, like you cannot push yourself, but on the court, like when it's about a ball and when it's about like thinking straight, even though, because I think my pulse, my heart rate is so high sometimes. And if I'm in better shape than everybody else, okay, what would your heart rate be like? Like now you're also in good shape, but like sometimes feel, how can you do this? I should be so much better than you.
Yeah,
but you know, it's all about like taking your strength training and your running training into the court. And I think that adaption you're much better at than we are in Denmark. Like who cares if I can lift a lot of kilos if I cannot show it on the field. So.
Actually.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't see it that way.
Yeah.
But I got you. And what would you like if I wanted to go and play in Denmark, what would you tell me about? So this league?
Yeah.
Like to sum up, or what would you tell me about the country and the life there?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the teams I played in, especially my former team in ECAST, we had a really strong community together as the team. I think we were really good at like bringing all together and Like if we did something, we did it all together. And of course you like some people more, but like I think a lot of people is really open to each other. And not that you're not open to each other here, but I feel still it's maybe a little bit more separated.
Yeah.
You will expect there to be a lot of tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course, we also do a lot of tactics here, but like we watch a lot of video. It's like the coach's best tool, like to run a lot, to do a lot of grand espace, counter attack. A lot of collective play. And like a lot of, in Denmark, we have something called Jantelov. It's a law about that you should not think that you're better than anybody else.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really like negative part of the Danish culture. So that is also one of the things I really appreciate here, that you can totally be yourself and you can stand up and say, okay, I'm the best and I want to do it my way.
Mm-hmm.
In Denmark, it's more like if you put on red lipstick and a short dress and you dance like hell, then people will be like, ah, she's a little too much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So, or if you're like strong in the field and really verbal and you're really fighter and like, then people will be, ah, she's too much.
Uh-huh.
You know, and okay. Yeah, so that is also one of the things I really enjoy here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now it sounds like Denmark is shitty.
No, but I think this is about the culture somehow.
Yeah.
You know, and what would you say now to a Danish girl or to a foreigner who would love to come and play in this league?
You should have seen me last year. Like, I was so confused all the time. I'm a confused person in the first place. So sometimes when I get an instruction, even in Danish, I would not understand. And then when I get an instruction in French, with a lot of other like stuff, rules in and everything, I was like, what? So like really prepare to be tired all the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like. My family was here, like, helping me move last year.
Yeah.
And I was, like, coming home from training, like, I'm going to bed, bye.
Ciao.
Like, really, like, my mind was just exploding. But I was also so excited about all this. Like, I've never regretted this one single day, really.
Okay.
Even with Corona and everything, I'm so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like... Mm-hmm. Of course, you have to be ready for it. But I think, like now I think, why didn't I do it before?
Okay.
Like, nice. And not just to go to France, or it's just to try and experience a new culture.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See people and see things in a different way, see handball in a different way. I think now I'm 27. If I stayed in Denmark all my handball life, I would be stuck in the same mindset.
Maybe we can talk just a little bit about being an international player and also playing Champions League at the time. Can you describe us what your everyday life looks like?
I think... Every time the EIHF or some federation is talking about, oh, we want more matches, I'm like, what the fuck? What are you thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
We have enough matches. Okay, I know that maybe for the worst, the lower teams in the league, maybe it would be nice to have more. But I really think like... again, like we talked about the youth before, if I should have given myself some advice, I would have played in some clubs with less matches.
At the beginning?
Yeah, at the beginning to focus more on my development and not so much about, you know, when it's match, okay, then you have to perform and then it's like you cannot develop and play a serious match at the same time. That was my problem when I was stressed. So...
Yeah, this is what you told me last time, that when you have so many matches, then you never have time to stop, to learn,
mm-hmm.
and then to apply it.
I feel like it's going to exam every yeah. day without learning. Reading.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really? I felt this for so long. And you know, we should never compare ourselves to football, for example, but I think there is a reason why at the championships they have 5 rest days.
Yeah.
You know? We play matches every day, and yeah, maybe a rest day in between at some point, but I think when you also have matches twice a week or even 3 times a week sometimes during the season, I think I counted one season I had 70 matches in a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much. And you yeah. know, sometimes I find myself like, okay, I should have done another sport where I can focus more on like, you have one event in the year and then you can train good, really develop yourself and peak at one time. I feel like we peak all the time, but we never really peak.
Yeah.
You know, we just have to continue the same level. And sometimes I miss that we can just really prepare.
Yeah.
So that's why, for sure, I hate Corona, but it has also been good for me in some points to like, now I'm not 19 anymore, I can focus on the technical stuff like back then, but in this period I really focused on some stuff I really wanted to be better at in the court, like shooting for myself, doing passes for myself, ball handling, everything like I feel like I miss here in France.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Louise. Now to finish, I will ask you the signature question of the podcast. So do you have any suggestion for me, a topic I could deal with in a new episode of the podcast?
Maybe like players who dealt with having to stop their career because of an injury or something like this, like the afterlife after handball when it's not your own decision. Because I know a lot of good friends that are really struggling with their identity because it was all about handball and then boom, it's taken from you and you didn't choose it and you thought you should play handball until you're mid-30s and now you're standing like 27 years old and you don't know who you are.
I really hope you appreciate listening to this episode. I had a lot of fun and I really appreciate this conversation with Louise. You can tell me what you thought about it on Instagram. It is on papers. You can also write me on my main account, which is MelvinDB. And you can also write to Louise. And don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcast or any application you're using to listen to this podcast. So I hope you enjoy it and I'll try to make much more episodes in English. See you later and have a very pleasant day. J'espère que cet épisode vous a plu. Donc, comme je vous le disais en début d'épisode, la traduction sera postée sur Instagram. Je mettrai des éléments de l'interview que j'ai eue avec Louise. Vous pouvez comme d'habitude me faire vos remarques sur onpaperspodcast@gmail.com par mail, mais aussi sur Instagram directement. Vous pouvez nous identifier en story avec Louise et nous donner votre avis un peu sur cet épisode et les sujets qui ont été abordés. La musique du podcast, je ne l'ai pas redit, a été réalisée par Elia. C'est ma meilleure amie et elle est formidable. Vous pouvez la trouver sur Instagram à @elia.musique avec un C. Voilà, je vous souhaite une très belle journée et je vous dis à très bientôt sur On Papers.